Proclamation number 5800, October 31st, 1953. Creation of the human being, the fall of man. The fallen spiritual substance needed an endless time for its higher development, and an endless time was also required for my individual creations, which more or less had to evolve in line with the indwelling constrained spiritual substances in order to hold ever more mature spiritual substances. Time and again new forms were created, and time and again these forms were assigned a task. Hence, earthly creation did not arise in an instant, but infinitely long periods of time passed until the spiritual substance of all degrees of maturity found the appropriate external form. Since the constantly increasing maturity also necessitated constantly new creations which could accommodate it. But as long as the spirits were subject to the law of compulsion, my creative activity meant creation of earth as a place to mature for the lowest fallen spirits, which had to acquire the level of maturity that would return free will to the constrained spirits again, which they had abused in the past. But now an external form had to be created for this fully matured spiritual essence, so that it could test its free will again in this form. This work of creation was the human being, who differed from all previously arisen creations, such that he, apart from free will, was also endowed with intelligence and reason, with a faculty of thought, with self-awareness, and with the ability to interact with his fellow human beings through language, because coexistence provided the necessary conditions for the test of will. The human being's external form already existed in its last stages in the state of compulsion and was destined to receive countless fully matured substances of soul. But these living beings still acted in a compulsive state as required by natural law, and therefore they are not responsible for their actions. They only had very limited ability of thought, but as receptacles for the spiritual essence, which was fully matured after an endless time of development, they were also works of creation, formed by my wisdom and love for this spiritual essence. But only the living beings who possessed free will, intelligence, and self-awareness were human beings, and only then started the plan of spiritualizing the latter. This required that the living creations, the human beings, were educated by me, that they should use their ability of thought, their intelligence, and their free will in accordance with my instructions, and by virtue of their free will, could then live and work on earth, that they could reshape themselves into gods, but also act in opposition to my advice and my will, and regress to the abyss from where they had ascended. I created the human being. Having attained a specific degree of maturity, I gave the spiritual essence an external form in accordance with my love and wisdom, and the task the human being subsequently had to carry out. The external form only became a living being after the spiritual essence had entered it, the composition of innumerable minute particles which, as soul, gave life to the form. For the spiritual essence is a constantly effective strength, and was in fact constrained and incapable of unrestrained activity during the preliminary stages, during the endless process of development. However, in its ultimate external form, in the human being, it can be active again. It can unfold its inherent strength, and through unity with me, increase it without limitation. The first human beings had my strength at their unrestricted disposal. They were extraordinarily well equipped in view of the fact that their test of life on earth should have resulted in their leaving their earthly form completely spiritualized in order to return as true children into their Father's house again. But the test of will, which I demand of every created being, was required of them. The first human being's passing of this test would have enabled all subsequent generations to reach the final goal with ease. By creating the first human beings, I had created beings for myself, who in spite of their inadequacy, their lack of perfection as a result of the apostasy from me, could nevertheless have attained realization of me myself, since they recognize themselves as living creations. Thus, due to their ability of thought and their free will, they were able to recognize my will and act in accordance with it. I had created beings for myself, with whom I could communicate despite their distance from me, who could hear my word and let it take effect on them, which was impossible in the earlier state of constrained will. Thus, the human being was the first earthly work of creation which carried a fallen original spirit in himself, and he was then meant to help this original spirit to return to its original state in order to work and create in eternal unity with me as a free spirit again. This was the task of the first created human being, and it will remain the task of all people until the end, until the final spiritualization of all fallen spirits. The test of the human will the first human being had to pass was not too difficult. Yet for the sake of this test, my adversary also had to be allowed to exert his influence on him. And the human being succumbed to this influence. He deserted me for the second time, and this was the first fall into sin on this earth. The original sin, which is known to humanity, even if it does not know of the apostasy of the spirits from me. But only the latter explains everything. For the first human being could not have fallen had he been the first created being externalized by me, as he would have been in full possession of strength and light, since only perfection can emerge from me. In that case, he could not have been influenced by an opposing force. But the reason for his fall is to be found in the apostasy of the spirits, and thus in the still immature human soul, which could indeed have passed the test, but was not obliged to pass it. Nevertheless, the human being was in possession of intelligence and free will, and therefore also had to accept responsibility for his soul. And thus the human being has to do penance for his guilt. My adversary kept his authority over the spirit embodied in the human being, and that means a laborious path of struggle and suffering during every human being's earthly life, with the goal of freeing himself from his control. The human being is able to achieve this goal because Jesus Christ came to help humanity, which was weakened by Adam's fall into sin, and therefore salvation is assured to everyone who recognizes him as Son of God and Redeemer of the world and follows him willingly. The first human being would have been able to build the bridge on which all his descendants could have reached me, but since he fell, humanity had to remain in Satan's bondage for a long time until the arrival of the Savior, until Jesus Christ descended to earth in order to build a bridge into the spiritual kingdom by way of his suffering and death, by way of his crucifixion. The decision of will demanded my first created being, of Lucifer, was by no means to be regarded as a commandment. Rather, it was entirely left to the being's choice to direct its will either way, and the direction of its will was totally based on its yearning for power and dictatorship. It was certainly aware that it had originated from me, but believed that it would also rule on its own because it could not see me. It recognized me as its source, but it did not want to acknowledge me. And this will was not placed into the being by me, but the being itself had changed the free will I bestowed on it. This is the difference between the first fall of Lucifer and the first human being's fall into sin. Because the wrong will was still in the human being, and therefore I gave him a commandment which he should not transgress, a commandment he could easily have kept had the opposing spirit not influenced him. The opposing spirit's influence on the human being was so strong because the human being was still part of him, since he had not yet regained perfection, which would have made a fall impossible. A perfectly created human being could not have fallen, that is, he would not have been able to violate this commandment, because the perfect spirit in the human being would have prevented him from every God-opposing action. But the creation of the human being was only the consequence of Lucifer's fall and his followers, or it truly would not have been necessary for me to give the spirits, who had been brought into life by me, an external form as a cover. The human form, however, contained the fallen spirit, and therefore the human being, Adam, was already burdened by the past sin, which he nevertheless could have pushed away had he kept my commandment. It would have been possible for him to redeem the inherited sin. His fall delayed the fallen spirit's return to me for an infinitely long period of time again. Yet it has become possible through the act of salvation by the man Jesus, who did, without any commandment on my part, what the human being Adam should have done, to completely accept my will, and through a life of love unite with me again on earth and achieve full possession of strength and light. Amen.